Hi, my name is Paul Baines. I'm Professor of Political Marketing at the University of Leicester and co-author of Marketing, 5th edition by Oxford University Press, with Chris Phil, Sarah Rosengren and Paolo Antonetti. This is the podcast for Chapter 6, Market Segmentation and Positioning. In this chapter, we look at the principles of market segmentation and the STP, or Segmentation, Targeting and Positioning process. We list the characteristics and differences between market segmentation and product differentiation. We explain two types of market segmentation, one related to consumer segmentation, the other related to business segmentation. We describe different targeting strategies. We discuss the concept of positioning, and we talk about how perceptual mapping can be useful in the positioning process. So let's begin with that first one, and the principle of market segmentation. Market segmentation was originally developed around 1956 by a chap called Wendell Smith in an article in which he talked about it as an alternative to product differentiation. But market segmentation is a three-stage process. First segmentation, then target marketing, and then positioning within that market. And the idea is that you, first of all, identify similar groups of customers from within a wider market via research. Once you've outlined those groups, and no one customer can be in different groups, so once you've outlined exclusive groups of customers, you then determine which of those groups you should target. And once you've done that, you then have to determine how do you get those customers to see your product in the way that you want them to see it. That's the positioning process. So segmentation, targeting, and positioning is really a key concept in marketing. Some have called it the cornerstone of marketing. So market segmentation really was first defined as a condition of growth when core markets have already been developed on a generalized basis to the point where additional promotional expenditures are yielding diminishing returns. So it forms an important foundation for successful marketing strategies and activities. And so the purpose of market segmentation is to ensure that elements of the marketing mix, price promotion, products and distribution, and people and physical evidence for services meet the needs of different customer groups. So market segmentation is related to product differentiation in the sense that product differentiation involves highlighting a product's attributes and features to emphasize the differences between it and hence distinguish it from competitive offerings. Whereas market segmentation requires a focus on particular segments or groups of customers who share similar needs or characteristics. So, if you like, you can see market segmentation from the perspective of, first of all, you look at the segment, undertake research with it, identify what people want, develop the marketing mix, and then develop the product. Whereas with product differentiation, you first have the product. You may or may not do any research, but typically you would just change aspects of the product and then see which new segments might be interested in it. And that is a much less systematic and objective way of going about building your market. It may work, it may not. But with segmentation, you're much more likely to build a market because you know that this is what people want and you've looked at different segments and what they require. So we differentiate between markets. So you can see market segmentation as a kind of customer allocation process. Customers are allocated to different segments on the basis of similarity inside that segment and difference between segments. So we talk about segment heterogeneity. In other words, segments are different from each other, but within any one segment, the customers are similar. That's the idea. And we call that member homogeneity. So we're talking about segment heterogeneity and member homogeneity. Now, when we segment in consumer markets, we tend to do it either by behavioural, psychological, or profile means. With behavioural means, then we're really looking at how, who, how, where, and when people, customers work, really. So it could be on the basis of the purchase or the transaction, how they consume the product or use it, how they use media, how they use technology. So with behavioural means, we're often looking at the way in which the customer behaves and can we segment them by their behaviour. So example, with voting in political contests, you could segment by when people decide to vote. And we know that 7% of voters in UK elections, UK general elections, tend to vote, determine how they're going to vote in the last 24 hours. So you might then have a splurge of promotional advertising in on the last evening of the election, because you know that a small number of people, but a sizable number of people, small but sizable number of people actually make that their decision then. Or, for example, you might look at how people behave in relation to the purchasing situation for, say, fast food products. We know that people plan to buy fast food, but we also know that they buy fast food on impulse. And if you look at Greggs, the food group in the UK, it's succeeded enormously by putting outlets in mass transit situations, contexts such as train stations, because people buy on impulse in train stations. You know, they're hungry, they're moving about, they want something quick, and so they buy on impulse. And if you buy on impulse, then you're much less likely to worry too much about price, and so it's you can price the product at a slightly higher price without people being particularly bothered about it, because they want it there and then, and they're fairly happy to pay the extra. So that's behavioural. Another type of segmentation is via psychological. You might segment people based on their lifestyle, based on their personality. For example, are they introvert or extrovert? Based on their perceptions. So people could be segmented for financial services products based on risk perceptions, by their attitudes, by their motives. One of my doctoral students many years ago segmented the exercise market on the basis of how people exercised, how people, what motives they sought when exercising. So did they seek to, and he did a whole segmentation study. He worked out that people had different motives. One of those motives, for example, was to gain mastery over something. So people would do something like fencing, for example, or hockey, based on mastery of the stick and or the sword. Another motive was for social reasons, so people might play football to meet their friends. Others might do it for weight loss or to get themselves more trim. So for aesthetic reasons, and so on. There are a whole bunch of other segments, but the point I'm making is that people were segmented based on their motives for sport participation. And finally, benefits sought. You know, what kind of benefits do you seek from a product? And toothpaste manufacturers have segmented people on the basis of the benefits that they seek from toothpaste, which can stem everything from fresh breath to tartar control to white teeth, cleaning it, making your teeth white, to child friendly and taste, you know, strawberry taste or raspberry taste and so on. So what kind of benefits are you seeking from this product? And the psychological criteria tend to look at why and who. And of course, the ones that most people are fairly familiar with, which is segmentation on the basis of who and where people are from, by demographics, socioeconomics, that's how much money they have perhaps, and where in the country they are, geography. But what we would tend to do is most commercial research would segment people either on some combination of behavioural and psychological. And then we'll come up with various segments, and those segments would then be profiled based on demography, socioeconomics, or geographics. But there are some supermarkets, for example, extensively use geodemographic segmentation using postcode data. And so they've got some understanding of how much people spend in certain areas, but on the basis of the size of their house. So there are different kinds of segmentation approach: behavioural, psychological, and profile, and they can be used in combination, but they can also be used individually. If we look at B2B segmentation, then it's similar in some senses, because we also have a kind of similar approach, in the sense that we will be interested in how that firm buys and the nature of the size of the firm and so on. So we can look at three key types of criteria: firmographic, economic, and geographic. Geographic is where those firms are located, so we might be interested in local firms or national firms. You know, if you're a plumbing service, then you would tend to be interested in people within a certain region. a local region, or if you are, you might be interested in particular nations that, that share similarities, or you might be interested in operating on a multinational basis or a global basis. There are various different approaches there and geographic terms. In economic terms, you might be interested in companies with a certain level of turnover or revenue or a certain level of profit or who have a certain budget for your product. And the final one is firmographic, which is based on size, age or stage in the life cycle of that firm. Is it a startup? Has it been going for 1 to 3 years, or has it been going for 10 years or whatever? The type of firm it is it a charity or not-for-profit, a supplier, a local government organisation? Or the one that's really common is industry SIC codes. SIC stands for Standard Industrial Code. So is it in the health sector, is it in the education sector? You can often hear this referred to as industry, as vertical markets. What vertical markets are we operating in? Once we've segmented the market, we then need to determine how to target it. Usually we would target segments based on whether they, on an acronym, DAMP, developed by Philip Kotler, and that's four criteria, D-A-M-P, DAMP, is it distinct, is it accessible, is it measurable, and is it profitable? And in the chapter we outline some other ways in which you can evaluate the attractiveness of different segments. You then have to target those segments, each one. Usually each one will get a different marketing mix, or at least you'd consider implementing a different marketing mix for each segment. But you can have an undifferentiated approach where there's no delineation between segments. That's not really segmentation, that's a whole kind of whole market approach. Differentiated, where you do segment. Concentrated, where you just focus on one segment, for example. Or customised, where you completely change everything for everybody. And again, that's not really a segmentation approach. There are certain limitations to segmentation. We go through those in the chapter. Sometimes there are barriers to segmentation inside the firm. Sometimes the firm doesn't spend a lot of money on segmentation but doesn't embed the customer system that's been developed inside the firm, or properly develop how it attacks that market. Those market segments, and sometimes there are practical issues. People just don't understand it, or they feel that this market has shifted. So sometimes you undertake a set of piece of segmentation research, and after a certain period of time, the market changes. And unless you've undertaken a new segmentation, you can't necessarily see whether that market change has occurred or not. Once you've decided which segments to target, you then need to position your products in that market. That means that you try to determine how people see your product, and the various ways in which you can evaluate this. We talk about centrality distinctiveness maps in the chapter, so have a look at those. We also talk about perceptual mapping, which is the most common technique in positioning, really, which is to outline how people think about a product and then to map onto that how people think where your particular products are. And in the chapter, we show an example of the perceptual map for non-vintage champagne. Dimensions for champagne are whether it's zesty versus whether it's mellow on the x-axis, and on the y-axis, whether it's fresh fruit versus baked fruit. So our example is Lancon, which is seen as a zesty, fresh fruit champagne. Okay, thanks very much for listening.